Welcome to Technori Live. We're back in studio at WGN, talking with some of Chicago's top entrepreneurs, founders, and innovators. For those of you tuning in for the very first time in 2017, what is Technori? Well, put simply, Technori is where startups go to showcase. Since 2010, nearly 300 startups have been featured, and to date, they've gone on to raise more than $260 million in funding. Amanda Lannert, CEO of Jellyvision, is here. Thank you first and foremost for coming on the very first day of work for the 2017 year.
Back in the swing, pants and all, ready to go.
I know. This is the first day in a couple weeks that I've worn, I feel like, you know, anything other than gym shorts.
I had 2 days where I literally didn't leave the house, but I'm excited to be back with humanity. It's nice.
Yeah, I'm undecided on that yet. I was walking down Michigan, and I was like, you know, bumping into people. I was still kind of in a funk. Humanity and I aren't quite up to speed yet, but hopefully very soon.
By 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock, you'll be ready to go.
Yeah, I think, well, it depends how many more of these cups of coffee I have. If I have a couple more cups of coffee, I'll be good to go definitely by 2, but probably not until tomorrow. So why don't you give us kind of, there are some people, those that listen to tech, probably very few, who don't know what Jellyvision is. Why don't you give us first kind of the, what is Jellyvision and who you are, and then we'll, you know, play around and learn a lot more about you.
Awesome. Jellyvision is a 107-year-old tech company, give or take 80 years, but we've been around on the scene forever.
Yes.
We are the spawn of a gaming company that was famous for making CD-ROM games like You Don't Know Jack and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in the 90s, whereas they made virtual game show hosts. We make virtual advisors, and the growth and the scale from the companies come behind a virtual advisor who helps mostly large employers help their employees choose and use their benefits and plan for their overall financial well-being. We make a SaaS platform called Alex that we license to about 800 large employers. We have 15 million employees on the platform, and in 2016, we had $91 billion worth of insurance premium decisions made on our platform.
So you have no interest in bots and AI or any of that stuff?
Always interested. I think that's one of the most interesting things. Besides the villainization of sugar in 2017, I'm really excited to see what potential AI may hold starting in 2017.
Obviously from a business standpoint, I get, what do you think from a consumer personal standpoint? Because I'm a little, like, I love the idea of the Alexa and all this stuff. I love all of the potential. But there's so many things that need to go right and need to get improved, from voice recognition and things like that. The actual, you know, nothing is more annoying than turn the lights on and it, you know, I missed a word and so it doesn't turn the lights on and all this stuff. Like, what are you most excited about from a consumer standpoint?
Well, I think that there are a couple of interesting dynamics. Bots, I don't know how well they'll actually be able to listen in to it, but over time they'll get better and better. But I think that they're really good at following checklists and following processes much better than humans. And I think humans might actually be more into giving the truth to bots than giving the truth to humans. And I think that can make for some really interesting patient care and business process outsourcing. I'm bullish that we have not scratched the surface on what AI is going to mean to our lives within 50 years.
I completely agree with you. And it's funny, I never thought of it in the way that you just said it.
Well, we live in human design. Like, what we simulate conversations between computers and people for a living. And we are very into sort of persuasion design and helping people not do dumb things, like act in their own best interest and use math and good decision making. We basically are a robot. Alex is a robot, more or less, that simulates a conversation, and we find that people can be more honest about their financial situation with our robot than they can be with a financial advisor who's dressed really well and maybe intimidating. So I think when you think about, like, humans being a little bit wacky, computers, you know, robots, AI might just be a great way to start to do a lot of things better, like managing money, for example.
On that note, it was funny that we were just talking about this before the show. I met with somebody, a financial planner advisor, and
yes,
it was one of those.
It's like,
cliche,
let the judgment begin.
Right. Like, so how much you expected to make next year? What is your saving? What about liquidity? I'm like, all right, dude, I haven't even had my tea yet, and we're talking about my life when I'm 40.
I work on the startup world, man. I ain't got nothing.
you are barking up the wrong tree over here, man. But it's so different that there's that, which is incredibly uncomfortable for most, I would say many. And then there's you in the comfort of your own home, in your sweatpants, talking to a robot that you would do any other day when you're asking Siri or Alexa for the weather outside or anything like that. I definitely see where that is going.
Well, and I can see where you're, like, why are you the one that was able to articulate that much better than I could? That's obviously the reason why. You work with robots all day long, essentially. I never thought of it in terms of, from a healthcare side, I never thought of it in terms of people, you know, I don't want to say instinctively, but they sort of instinctively hide the truth a little bit when they talk to other human beings. But when they talk to a robot, it's like talking to themselves, essentially, in their mind. So that you will definitely see more people being able to give more information to help them in the future because they don't feel like there's judgment on them talking to a robot.
If you think about sort of the journey from Jellyvision and where we are right now in a B2B play, we basically go to where there's furrowed brow, where people are trying to do stuff that is complicated and boring but important online, and we create software that helps walk people through it. I don't know. One out of four millennials would rather clean a toilet than pick their benefits. That's the world that we're in right now. It is not a delightful world. And most of the time, people just tell me, what is right for me? I don't want to learn. I don't want to read. I don't want to engage. I just don't want to make a dumb decision. And so the ideal would be to have a great advisor, someone who knows you and you trust, that would sit down and walk you through it. That doesn't scale for the 200 million people who need to pick benefits every year. So we've created something that scales. It sort of simulates the feel of someone who gets to know you and what you care about, and then actually does the math that's actually hard to do around benefits so that people make a better decision and get on with their lives as fast as possible.
I absolutely love where this is going. On a more personal note of things, what is it that you're working on within, whether it's on your own or within Jellyvision, that is keeps you motivated and keeps you inspired to keep working on things? Because you are, like, from everything I hear, you're all over the place working on stuff constantly and are just going 1,000 miles an hour. It's hard to stay like at that pace unless there's something pushing you. What is it that pushes you to do that?
I think, you know, sort of three buckets. First of all, I love the people I work with. They're brilliant and funny and kind and helpful. But there are two sort of thrusts. The first of which is we're moving into financial wellness, not just helping people choose and use healthcare, but helping people manage their overall financial well-being, which I think is incredibly important. When you think about the data around student loans and credit card debt, we're facing a crisis, and I think our software can help. And then on another note, I really think a lot about how to grow without sucking. There's something about large-scale companies that get slow, they get bureaucratic, they get afraid. And as we grow, where there are now people at Jellyvision making important decisions I haven't even met yet, trying to figure out how you can be fast and transparent. And all the great things small companies have when you have people in 14 states, which is what we do now. So growing without sucking, scaling without sucking, is something I spend a lot of time and I'm pretty passionate about.
Well, obviously, as a leader of this growing without sucking movement at Jellyvision, you are, what are some of the tactics you're using? Because, I mean, you know, we'll have another company coming on now that's in the, you know, sort of a growth stage, obviously much smaller than your company. But we have lots and lots of companies who are in that, I don't want to say that, like, total growth spurt stage, but they're at that stage where they're finally expanding out beyond their initial reach. They can make a phone call, but, you know, all of their employees are within eye shot, or somehow they start to expand in different cities and states and try to, like, keep that culture without putting tons of process lines through it. How do you do that? What is the vision behind that?
The burden of stability and scale is real. When you have further to fall, you start to get afraid and defensive, and you want to be protective of your ecosystem and all the customers that are relying on you. So what we try to do is always create small teams off to the side that have none of the pressure of scale and get to hack and invent. The reality is, you know, I want to be the ones to beat our software. And you're not going to do it when there are 18 people in a meeting. You're going to do it with three people in a room. So we try to create small rooms where people can move quickly and break some eggs and not have to have all the expectations of communicating to everyone who might touch our current software, which is massive and scaled. So small rooms, smart people, autonomy, fast moving. You can be small even within a growing organization.
It's very interesting you said that, because I've said this before on the show, talking to, I don't even remember who we were talking to at the time, but it was Tom Kaczmarski from Chicago Innovation Awards, that one of the companies that has used that exact same tactic is PayPal. They don't invent anything, but they acquire, you know, new innovation constantly. And one of my buddies was one of the heads of their innovation teams there at PayPal. And he said the way that they continued to bring in all of these different companies from all over the place and bring them under the PayPal umbrella, and it still sort of continue to move the same way and not be dysfunctional, was that they would bring what you'd call these little attack teams. And they would essentially be a multidisciplinary team. They'd take one individual from one different company, from a different division, from different everything, and say, basically, you've got 4 to 8 weeks to hack something that you've got, or to come up with a new solution, or to try to break this or create another version of it or whatever. And within, you know, three to 12 weeks, depending on how long everything, you know, the size and scope of what they were trying to do, if they couldn't get an MVP up and running by then or something, they would just put it, you know, whatever knowledge and research they got from that, they would put away and move on.
So companies, as they're growing, have to learn the lesson of not giving up on generalists. When you are in a startup, you do 5 to 6 jobs minimum, including taking out the trash.
Yep.
And as you start to grow, people get narrower and more focused and more focused, so that when you want to have a cross-functional team, you used to need two people. Now you need 18.
Yeah.
The key is to not fall out of love with your generalists.
Yeah.
And always have space for them where they can build and do their own QA.
I think it's huge. I think the utility players, in my opinion, is one of the most important. It's the glue guy. It's the most important. It's the David Ross from the Cubs. It's the guy or girl who's on the team that sort of can pick up the slack in all these different areas and give you insight as to, you know, this is your role entirely. So you always know, like, what is going on. But from an outside perspective, you probably don't have that anymore if you've been doing the same exact task for so long. You lose sight of that, I think, when we expand.
It's a balance, right? Because our people who are very focused, they're experts. They have wisdom and they've got game for what they do. But it's, you look at Jellyvision, we had 100 people join the company. 100 people had been here for less than a year in December, and about 12 had been here for more than 10 years. And it's those generalists. Like, we don't leave our core generalists, our inventors, our hackers. They're still there. And then we try to cultivate that mindset even for people who have very specific, important jobs. You're allowed to navigate through the company and take on different roles. You're allowed to have more of a holistic perspective. And you're encouraged to, like, come up with ideas.
Are there anyone in the company that's been there for that whole 100 years?
Me and the founder. And
you look terrific for someone who's been there for over 100 years.
I drink the blood of babies.
There
are about a dozen of us who have been there since the founding of the company in 2001.
I have to ask, with that, just the direction, everything you guys have been through since 2001, what do you think of it? You look back and, like, this is what we started and what we tried to create, and this is where we are now, and it's like...
I pull, you know, plans and P&Ls and stuff from prior years because I have them all, you know, archived. And it's like in 2007, and I look at the size and the scale of the company, and I ask myself, how on earth was I working so hard?
Yeah.
Like, how is it possible that I worked so hard to accomplish so little compared to what we're getting done now? So it's sort of like nostalgia. I'm like, was I just that dumb, or is it just that hard to get started? But it's never dull. I've been at the same company, but the business has changed. Like, scaling now is so interesting. Everything is new and different. So I feel like I'm still learning. You know, as long as I'm learning and having fun, I'm in.
And you're in a cool space. I mean, it's a very fast moving.
It's a stinking cool company. Yeah. It really is.
No,
it's like super fun people, and it's got a great culture. And I think what we do matters. So. It's kind of a winning combination.
Well, before I let you go here, I wanted to bring in one more story that I thought was funny. And I'm not going to say his name because he's in the room here, but there's somebody who had previously applied for a position at Jellyvision, and he said none of the emails are unanswered. He's not leaving Technori. But it's a hysterical story, and I thought he could reminisce on real quick here. It has nothing to do with Jellyvision, so it won't get in any trouble.
We'll leave the names out of it.
We'll leave
for
all
obvious
the names,
names
out of it.
Mm-hmm. I met somebody on Coffee Meets Bagel, a dating app. And... I met this person, we were talking, and turns out that person ended up working at Jellyvision. And I said, hey, you know what, I'm looking for, you know, kind of changing up things in my career. And I found one of these positions at Jellyvision. And this might sound weird, but can I use your name in my essay for the application? And she said, that's a little strange, but I guess. And I told her what it was for, and she said, oh my God, I'm applying for that same position. And I've never heard back. I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter, but I thought it was funny, and I said,
"Did you apply via JobBite?" We really try to. They're humans behind every application, and we
have
humans
that read
them.
Yeah, and it responded, and it was like, "Our human team is getting on this." And
was it recent?
Yeah, when
probably
was this?
6 months ago.
He's leaving some big parts out of this.
Yeah. Okay.
He's leaving some big parts. So first up, not only did he not hear back there, he didn't hear back from the girl either.
Right, that was the funny part.
Which is like the first part that's amazing. The second part is. Without taking too much time, what did you write in your application? Because this is key.
I used the cliche. I brought in her, the dating app, Jellyvision. I said, this is fate. I met her. I met Jellyvision. This is what is going to happen for me going forward. This is going to be a beautiful relationship. And... Didn't click.
Okay.
Didn't
well, can't imagine what happened.
Fun fact: Seth Meyer, the talk show host, applied for a job and he didn't get a job at Jellyvision either. So you're in good company.
I feel much better.
You're in good company.
Northwestern Wildcats get shot down. I'm telling
good company.
You.
And Ramblers.
Let's go Cats.
And Ramblers. Yeah. Well, I had to share this story because it was just too funny. He told me this today, and I was like, I'm sorry.
You got to bring it up.
You wrote what?
Yeah.
What did you write?
I apologize you didn't get a response. We should reply to anyone who takes the time. This is a candidate's market, and we are very humble for anyone who would take the time to apply for Jellyvision. So on behalf of the team, thank you.
And no hurt feelings. Thank you.
And no job for you.
That was just as good.
I'm working on his resume and his intro writing skills.
They're just like, hey, I swiped right. It's meant to be.
I took a shot and I missed. But that's okay.
Hey, Michael Jordan, lots of missed shots, lots of titles.
There it is.
Amanda, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks, guys. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
You too. Where do people go to learn more about Jelly Vision?
Meet Alex, M-E-E-T-A-L-E-X, or jellyvision.com.
Very cool. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.